Welcome to the Gathering Place Silverton Teaching Podcast. We are a community committed to helping people learn and live the way of Jesus in Silverton. We believe that our growth happens best within community. If you're not yet a part of a Jesus-centered community, we invite you to join us for one of our Sunday gatherings or go to gatheringplace.faith to find out more about how to get connected.
My name is Lainey Bliss, and I'm one of the pastors here at the Gathering Place. And if you're a guest, we just want to say welcome. We're so excited to have you. And for everyone else, I'm so glad to see you again in the new year. Is it lame for me to say, wow, I haven't seen you since last year? It's lame. And it is true, though. you guys, it's 2026. And I actually am like struggling to wrap my mind around that number. Anyone else with me? Yeah. It's bananas to me that we are now closer to 2050 than we are to 2000. Isn't that weird? Yeah. The pace of life feels so rapid, and I won't lie, this stat that I just said is like bringing up an urgency in me to live. Right? Like, I want to live big. And I get made fun of for this, and I invite you all to make fun of me as well. But I'm turning 31 this year, and it's really freaking me out. And I know, that's still young, but 31 is the oldest I've ever been, okay? And it feels like life is flying by at this, like, unrelenting pace. There's so much life that I have not lived yet, and I'm thinking things like, am I keeping up like I should be keeping up? And then a statement like, we're closer to 2050 than we are 2000 is made. And I realize that I am closer to 45 than I am 15. And that also freaks me out and gives me even more urgency to live because I feel like I should still be 15. But I am closer to 45 than 15. I so desperately want to live big, bold, experience things, learn things, grow, whatever it is that living looks like, I want that. And then you couple it with this tradition that we have at New Year's, where we all make resolutions. Is anyone thinking about their resolution or they made one already? Some of you have just said, we are not making resolutions anymore, right? Yeah, it's really hard to be always thinking about what are we going to improve in, right? So why do you guys think we make resolutions? Shout it out. To be better? Setting goals? Yeah, what else? To start fresh. Yeah. In different words, we make resolutions because we want to live in a different way than we did before. Okay. So how many of us have made a New Year's resolution and we've been really good at it for a few months or a few weeks or a few days or a few hours? And then we forget about it and we give up. Anyone been there? Yes. Yeah. How disappointing and discouraging it can be to want to live and grow, but seemingly we find ourselves stuck in the same place we were before. What I find over and over is that New Year's resolutions and their failing is less about my desire to grow and change and more about my ability to follow through on my own. For example, for all of my adult life, my New Year's resolution has been to get healthy. Anyone else? This is a desire that I have all the time. I want to be healthier, but my follow-through is the part where it gets a little rocky. So what that's meant for me a number of times is that I get all gung-ho on health and I find myself trying to implement all these new habits all at one time. Let's do it! And I set these goals and I say, I'm gonna eat whole foods only and I'm gonna exercise and I'm gonna take my vitamins every day and I'm never gonna miss them. And then I'm gonna drink unbelievable amounts of water. And I am gonna get results. And then I expect myself to suddenly go from zero to 100 perfectly on day one. And I allow no room for gentle growth or for breaks or for bad days. The truth is that, at least for me, it is not feasible to make total life changes in each aspect of my life all at one time. And if I look at that list of things that I want to do to be healthier, and if I were to take one of them and build a healthy habit around it, I would probably make some headway, right? But to immediately say, you have to change all of these things right now, go, 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 it's just not possible. So each year, I find myself struggling and becoming discouraged because I can't do it. And I think things like, well, lots of other people seem to do it. Why can't I? Or if it didn't work last year, why would I think it would be different this year? Can anyone else identify with that? Yeah. My friends, we are being deceived in this thinking. Our rapid pace of life traps us in believing that if it's not immediately fixed 100% of the way, then we are failing. The thing about life moving at such a rapid pace is that we do not move at that same rapid pace. Many of us this last year struggled. We walked through grief, turmoil, pain, worry, guilt, fear, desperation, isolation, anxiety, depression. And how many know that when those things are going on, the world keeps moving, but we don't? Not really. We've walked through trial and fire, and we come out on the other side, and the feeling is often like, did that really happen? Because life is moving so fast. We do experience joy and goodness and blessing and faithfulness. We have grown and changed and overcome and become in this last year, but the rapid pace of life does not allow time to actually acknowledge all we have journeyed through. In short, sometimes life be lifin'. And it is all we can do to just keep moving, let alone transform ourselves, right? Thankfully for us, this was never really God's plan. We are not meant to self-transform. We are meant for transformation in relationship with God. And because of that transformational relationship, God intended for us to move slowly. It's scriptural for us to walk with God, not sprint, not fly, not speed, not hurdle, but to walk, right? I love the way that the Message version of the Bible puts this scripture in Matthew 11, 28 through 30. It says, are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me, get away with me, and you will recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you will learn to live freely and lightly. That's relieving, right? Life was meant to be a journey that we take with God. And journeys, if you've ever watched The Lord of the Rings, are not quick, right? Journeys are never quick. So what I want to do this morning is take some time to consider and reflect over this last year or this last season and take stock of where we were and where we are now. Because in Jesus' name, nothing is wasted. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much for this time we have together. I ask that you would speak to each and every one of us this morning, that you would show us that with you, Lord, nothing is wasted, and it's okay to go slow. Lord, we love you. We praise your name. Amen. Okay, so You can pull out your physical Bibles if you have them, or you can do like Pastor James says and refer to the Sky Bible. And we are going to go to John 6 and read the story that's probably pretty familiar to us of Jesus feeding the 5,000. So sometime after this, Jesus crossed to the far shore of the Sea of Galilee, that is the Sea of Tiberias. And a great crowd of people followed behind him because they saw the signs he had performed by healing the sick. Then Jesus went up onto a mountainside and sat down with his disciples. The Jewish Passover festival was near. When Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming toward him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for all of these people to eat?" He asked this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. Philip answered Jesus, "It would take more than a half a year's wages to buy enough bread for each one to have even a bite." And another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up and said, "Well, here's a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish. But how far will they go among so many?" Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." There was plenty of grass in that place, and they sat down. About 5,000 men alone were there. Jesus then took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. And when they had had all had enough to eat, he said to the disciples, "Gather the pieces that are left over. Let nothing be wasted." So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with the pieces of 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. I love this scripture because it just shows how present in the moment, how hospitable, and how mindful Jesus always was. It was not necessarily in his plan for the day to preach again, and it was not necessarily in his plan for the day to feed 5,000 people. In fact, he was specifically going away to get some rest with his friends. But he saw these people and he invited them in to be a part of his life. He saw the people and invited them to have some food. He saw these people and had a plan for how nothing would be wasted, situationally and physically, right? So let's take a closer look at verses 6 and 12 through 13. So verse 6 says, "He asked this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do." And then verse 12 through 13 says, "When they had all had enough to eat, he said to the disciples, 'Gather the pieces that are left over. Let nothing be wasted.' So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with pieces of the 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten." I've never read this portion of scripture in this way before, that Jesus was so aware of all that could be and would be that he had already decided and knew what he would do. And then attaching that to, in the end, he said, "All that's left over, let's gather it and let nothing be wasted." It strikes me that Jesus is never apathetic or careless. And he's not wasteful, right? He is deeply caring and he's considerate. And he will use whatever it takes to care for us. Every situation we're in, he'll use it to care for us. He sees and already knows what he's going to do. And he's never going to let us like walk through something that he's like, "Whatever, we don't need that." Because he doesn't waste, right? Including the hard, ugly things, he does not waste. So when we start to feel slow and like things will never get better or be changed, Jesus is at work. The journey often feels slow and monotonous. It can feel like there's no way we can possibly make it through this. It can feel impossible. And yet when Jesus is the Lord of our lives, nothing is wasted. The transformation of Jesus is often slow and steady. It is not big and flashy and showy, thank goodness, because big and flashy and showy are unreliable. They're undependable. big flashy shows are not real. What we need is real. I love how James 1:17 describes this aspect of Jesus' steadiness. It says, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, who does not change like shifting shadow. He is steady. He's reliable and dependable. He's slow and consistent. And no, life is never going to be picture perfect. We want it to. We have our Instagram perfectly curated, right? But picture perfect is not real, and therefore it will never be. What is our experience, right? In fact, here's a funny story. When I photograph couples together, oftentimes what happens is that there's this like stiffness effect that comes over people when I'm taking their pictures. They're like, okay, how about this? And I'm like, oh, why don't we get some movement in there, right? So a lot of the times what I'll have them do is like, if it's a couple, I'll have like, you know, husband wrap his arms around her. And then I say, okay, now rock forward and backward like this. And I'll tell you what, nothing feels more awkward and weird than standing out in the middle of a field going like this, right? But what happens every time, even though it looks so weird in real life, is that the photos that come out of that moment are like chef's kiss. They're so good. Do you understand what I'm trying to say with that? Life with Jesus, walking in slow, steady transformation is not always glamorous, but it is real. And it's actually really life-changing. He is aware of what he is doing and will do. And sometimes the results are not visible until they are, right? When I make my clients rock back and forth, they have no idea what the result of this picture is going to be. In fact, they're thinking, this is the dumbest thing we've ever done. And how could a possible picture, a good picture, come out of this? But I know what is going to be the results. I am aware of what the outcome will be. I know what I'm going to get when I do that. And so if clients will trust me as the photographer, the result will be an adorable photo like this. Both of these pictures were rocking pictures. But because I could see what would happen and I knew what would happen, and they trusted me, we got to the result that we wanted. This is what walking the slow road with Jesus is all about. Trusting him, walking sometimes blindly, not fully understanding the outcome. It is seeing the still, steady, and small transformations that come over time. It is remembering the small, steady transformations that come over time and seeing how they compound and they grow interest. There's exponential changes when we look at the whole, right? And knowing that if he is able to do all of that, all that came before, then he is able to do this. The beauty is that when we do this, as we walk, he is faithful and nothing is wasted. He will bring transformation through whatever means, even when unexpected. I'm going to read this portion of Isaiah 43 to us because it was prophetic for the people of God at that time, and I believe that it is still prophetic for us today. This is what the Lord says. He who made a way through the sea, a path through the mighty waters, who drew out the chariots and horses, the army and reinforcements together, and they lay there never to rise again. Extinguished, snuffed out like a wick. Forget the former things, do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. The wild animals honor me, the jackals and the owls, because I provide water in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland to give drink to my people, my chosen, the people I formed for myself, that they may proclaim my praise. Jesus knows exactly what he's going to do, and nothing is wasted. Verse 19, see, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. In college, I took a bunch of geology classes because I didn't want to take hard science. And I learned some things in geology class. And one of the things that I learned was that the Grand Canyon was not always a Grand Canyon. It was a regular landscape with some water running through it. It became the Grand Canyon after time, and streams in the wasteland eroded the landscape and developed it into the beauty that it is today. It didn't used to be a Grand Canyon. Guys, we are Grand Canyons. Being slowly formed by the one who made us, as we walk with him and invite him in, he is faithful to make sure nothing is wasted. Ephesians 2:10, I love, says this, for we are God's masterpiece, created anew in Christ Jesus to do the good things he planned for us long ago. And my mom has always used this metaphor for this scripture. She says, we live in this town that is full of murals. Anyone familiar with the town? And each summer, artists come out and they set up their scaffolding and they begin to restore the masterpiece. Places where the mural has been weathered, where the sun has stripped the color, where people have walked by and drug their keys along it, where it's been worn and torn over the last year. The artist goes out and touches up the masterpiece. And this is what God is faithfully doing in each of us, his masterpieces. He's setting up scaffolding and he's fixing us up, and then he's healing the wear and tear of life, and then he's repainting the bricks. But it takes time, transforming us and slowly bringing us back to life so that we can do all he has intended for us. Jesus, the master craftsman. I've never known a master craftsman that cranks out a masterpiece in one day, right? I've never known a master craftsman that wasted materials either. When we walk with Jesus, nothing is wasted. Even the hard things from the times before we were walking with him, the times filled with death that we look back on and think, how on earth could that have been worth anything? Nothing is wasted. He's not only at work when we choose him, but he is at work even now preparing a way for us to choose him. He's laying foundation in the people that you have no hope for. He's prepping the canvas for our friend that doesn't believe. He's writing the music for the songs that the lost are going to sing one day. He is at work, but it's slow and steady. So when I look back on my New Year's resolutions from long past, I can look and see a bunch of failures. Or I can look and see how small habits have been built over that time. No, I never became a health guru, at least not yet. But I drink more water today, like every day, than I ever have before. Like I'm going through 60, sometimes 90 ounces of water, and I never, ever did that before. I know more about clean eating than I did before, and when I make my own food, it's mostly clean. I have learned some self-control when it comes to the sweets on Sunday morning. Sometimes I say, I don't even need one today. There are small changes that have come from years of keeping on, keeping on. Even though when I look at it grand scale, I'm like, well, I didn't really transform myself. But I can see that there have been small transformations along the way that are leading me closer and closer to the goal, right? There's more transformation to go. But I did better this year than I did last. And I did better today than I did yesterday. And I have hope that I will do better tomorrow than I did today. That is the transformation that we're looking for. Are we abiding in Jesus better today than we did yesterday? Are we making choices in today's version of ourselves that are healthier than yesterday's versions of ourselves? And when we fall back into old ways, as we are all prone to do, can we say, Jesus, that stunk. Will you help me do better tomorrow than I did today? And he will. Because he doesn't expect perfection. He just asks that we would be willing to let him work and trust that he has already thought of what he will do and that nothing he does is wasted. So I want to take some time and like reflect and meditate together. So I'm going to ask you guys to just get rid of any distractions. Pens, paper, phones, whatever, stick it under your chair. And I'm going to pray, and then feel free to just settle into your seat, get comfortable. You don't have to do anything right now. There's nothing to fix. Just be present. Jesus, I ask that you would meet each of this in this meditative and reflective time. Lord, would you show us where you are in our current situations? Would you show us the small growths, the places where we need hope from you? Would you remind us of your might in our life? We give everything and everyone to you, Jesus. We give everyone and everything to you. We give everyone and everything to you, Jesus. Let's all take a slow breath in through our nose and out. Again. Begin to reflect on the last year or this last season. What stands out? Don't analyze it. Don't judge it. Just notice. Where did life feel heavy, rushed, overwhelming? If something difficult comes to mind, quietly say, that was hard. Take a breath. Now, shift your attention. Where can you see even a small sign of growth? Something you've learned? A habit that's slightly better or healthier? A strength you didn't know you had? It doesn't need to be big. It matters still, even if it's small. And if it's hard to see, ask Jesus quietly, "Show me what you see, Lord." Now picture yourself standing before Jesus, holding what you have right now in your hands. Not what you wish you had, not what you think you should be offering, just what is actually in your hands. Maybe it's faith, questions, weariness, hope. Offer it to Jesus. Hear him say, "This is enough. I can work with this. Nothing is wasted." Notice where you've been pressuring yourself to change quickly, where you've believed you should be further along by now. Imagine placing that pressure at Jesus' feet. You can silently pray, "Jesus, I release the need to be finished." Picture yourself walking with him, not rushing, not falling behind, just walking together. Now gently look toward the year ahead. Where do you sense Jesus inviting you to walk with him? Not sprint, not perform, just walk. What is one small step he may be inviting you to take? Trust that he already knows what he's going to do and that nothing in your life is wasted. Rest in that truth today. We can take one final breath in. And when you're ready, you can open your eyes. Jesus is faithful. He is steady. And nothing, absolutely nothing, is wasted. As we leave today, I hope we can thank God for the small changes and faithfully ask for breakthrough. Some of us are in fields that are lush and growing and flourishing, Some of us are standing in fields where the ground needs to be overturned. And some of us are feeling like we're in fields that are like freshly burned up. Wherever you're at, the Lord is with you. Jesus is there, and he already knows what he's gonna do, and nothing will be wasted. So let me speak this blessing over us this morning before we go and get to our potluck. Jesus, thank you for being a loving Father that wastes nothing. You are so good. You are so holy. We ask that you give us what we need for today and continue forming us into the masterpieces you created. Thank you for protecting us from the enemy's schemes. He has no power in our lives, no power here. In Jesus' name. All of this is yours. All we are is yours. May your kingdom come, Lord, and your will be done in us, in Silverton, as it is in heaven. In your name we pray. Amen.